Hello and welcome to Not a Safe Space. This is Sabrina.
And Tabby.
Hey girl, what's going on?
Not much. How are you?
Doing well. Just making it, it's Happy Friday.
Yay!
Happy Friday and a week behind, right? We're a week behind.
We are, even though it's episode 52, so it's a year and a week. Is that how we're going to say this?
Well, I mean, technically it is our anniversary of a year episode, right?
It is. It is our year anniversary, but our year anniversary was like
3 weeks ago, I think.
3 weeks, yeah.
Whatevs.
Whatever.
Happy 52.
Yay! We're old.
And happy birthday to Howie, my brother-in-law, which you met this weekend.
Yes.
Or last week at Jen's celebration, but I know he's a new fan, and I think he's all the way back in, I don't know, episode 6. So
oh, wow.
Maybe by his birthday next year, he'll hear this shout out. So happy birthday, Howie.
Yes. Happy birthday, Howie, you crazy old man.
Yeah. So how was that? So it was funny because we went to our friends. It was basically a divorce celebration. We
right.
didn't think of, I really tried with the invite to, or the name of it to not call it a divorce celebration, right? Because there's kids and there's families that were all fucking just broken from this divorce. But
right.
there is also a celebration of it's finally fucking over. And you have your independence and you're a badass bitch. And you make more money than you did when you were married to him. You have a nicer house than when you were married to him. You just bought a brand new fucking car. Your kids are fucking thriving. You look like a badass. Celebrate it.
Exactly. I love it.
Yeah.
I think that was a great idea because you know what? It's been a rough road for her through all of this.
For sure. For sure. So it was fun. And I love that like she arranged the celebration. She booked the brewery. She booked her favorite fucking band to come out. The band had not played together since quarantine. So that was the first time all five of them played together.
Oh, okay.
Nate hired the food truck and had one of his hockey buddies come out and bring the food truck out. And it was on her terms. She wanted to celebrate. She was going to do it. And we didn't do anything cheesy. The only thing that really said that it was a divorce was the cake that said, boy,
bye.
Yeah.
Right?
Boy, bye. Bye.
Time to get out of here because you are not welcome.
Yeah, but it was a lot of fun. I love that it was dancing all night. The brewery had a bocce ball court, which is super fucking cool. If you know us personally, bocce ball has been like the game of quarantine for 2020, for myself and my quarantine crew of like Jen and the people that are always out on our boat. So we were all really excited to see that. And, it was just a good night.
It was. And when I saw the bocce ball, I went, what the fuck is that?
It's so good.
I was like, why are they throwing balls? I was like, this looks like shuffleboard for semi-younger people.
Right. There's just a little more movement. The great thing about bocce ball is it can be played anywhere. So
mm-hmm.
like fall festival weekend at your house that
right.
we volunteered you for, bocce ball, we can play it anywhere on the farm. We've played it on the beach. We've played it around the castle in St. Augustine.
Right.
We've literally played it everywhere. It's a ton of fun.
I'd say the only place you cannot play it is in the pasture because you might roll into a pile of shit.
Yeah, that would be a terrible idea.
No.
But you got to play around the fucking ball. So look, you landmine's a landmine. I also love that.
I love that.
Somebody asked me, one of the people that were attending, what the dress code was. And I said, listen, it's a brewery, so there's no dress code.
Right.
However, my friends and I have been in fucking quarantine for 6 fucking months. I'm dressing
but
to dress.
You showed up with those stiletto black spiked pumps, okay?
Mm-hmm. Love it.
And they looked gorgeous.
I loved it. Now, I don't think the shoes were made for 2 rounds of bocce ball. So I was dying by the end of that. But I wore my black studded Steve Madden pumps that I just bought. And then Jen and I went out with her boyfriend, Chad, and we bought Jen a brand new outfit. She looked fucking badass. Jamie was, of course, in sparkles. You were dressed
always.
Up.
Yep.
You were in heels.
I was.
And then fucking Doreen said, look at all you bitches in heels. And I'm in my tennis shoes.
Right? But you know what? She still looks cute and she was comfy.
She did. And I love the color of her hair. She's achieved... It takes a long time to achieve the platinum that she has, which is where I'm trying to go with my hair. And she's achieved it and it looks really good.
Yes. And it is a long, hard road to get to that color. I say hard because there are some months that your hair does not look so pretty and you just have to grind it out.
You do. Like, even so, like right now, mine's turning more tannish because it was just the first full bleach. So it's going to take a while.
Right.
So that was really fun supporting Jen. It felt normal to me.
Yeah, like we were having a weekend with our friends, like we were supposed to.
Yeah, there was the brewery was not enforcing the mask policy, which was great. So, you know, you kind of, I don't know about you, but no matter what, I always walk in with the mask and then I just kind of observe the room. If nobody else is doing it, I'm out. I'm not wearing this fucker. If they're enforcing it, then fine. I can choose to stay or leave. But I liked wearing it in there and then getting to take it right off and not worrying about it for the rest of the night.
We walked in without a mask, rocked right up to the bar, ordered. Nobody had a problem. And we were going off. Yeah. I've stopped wearing my mask. And the reason why is because I have anxiety attacks and can't do it. If you ask me to leave, that's fine. I'll go somewhere else. But I can't do it anymore.
So you know? Did you see the video that Nate shared on Facebook and I sent you?
I did, yes.
A woman at a Ohio middle school.
Oh, that was in Ohio.
Yeah, was arrested for trespassing because she was not wearing her mask and refused to put one on. And I'm surprised she wasn't arrested for resisting arrest because she was...
Resisting an arrest?
She wasn't complying with the officer and she wasn't putting her hands behind her back and she was really fighting and pulling back.
Right.
I'm surprised that, he did tase her. She did get her ass tased. So I guess that calmed her down. She was handcuffed after she was tased. But
right.
I think it's interesting that people are fighting for the fact that she's going to now sue the school board. For arresting her. Why would we do that? Why would we encourage her bad behavior?
So, I guess my question is what, and I understand. So if one, my question is that a public school? And two,
it is a public school.
Okay.
Official policy that the masks are required on premises.
Okay.
They were notified at the gate and then notified over the speaker throughout the game that the masks are required. Full time, regardless if you're socially distanced.
Okay. So my question is, there were two children in the background of that video that were not wearing masks. Those families were not asked to leave. Okay. And the cheerleaders were not wearing masks. And I know the kids out on the football field or the track were not wearing masks. So was this a mandate only for adults and not the children? Because, and the cop... The second cop was going in to catching up, was not wearing a mask. So legally, that cop was breaking the county policy.
Agreed. I think that the second police officer that ran up to see what was going on as she was being pulled out, you can hear the lady say, "You're not wearing a fucking mask."
Exactly. That cop is breaking policy. So yes. If you're not enforcing it to everybody, those two kids that I saw in that area not wearing a mask that was not part of that family, those families should have been forced to leave as well.
Right.
If they refused to put on the mask.
Right.
But that didn't happen.
Well, we don't know that that didn't happen. So the article says that 2 out of 300 people were not wearing their mask. The woman and the woman next to her. The woman next to her complied and put her mask on, where the other one said she wasn't going to. So they said, okay, well then, if you're not going to, then you have to leave. It's the policy of the school to be on premise. You have to be wearing your mask. If not, leave. Now she's refusing to leave.
And now she's
trespassing. And she was legally arrested for that.
And I agree with that. And I agree with her being tased because she was resisting an arrest. Yeah. So yeah, there's yeah, no sure. sympathy as far as that goes. But then, you know, everybody else was like, and here's the other thing. People forget there's a loophole around all of this. Uh-huh. You don't want to wear your mask. You can say, I medically cannot wear a mask. They are not legally allowed to ask you why or what your mm-hmm. issue is to HIPAA because of HIPAA laws. And they can't force you to leave because of that, because it's a discrimination.
Uh-huh.
So
don't you think that becomes fucking nitpicking? Just don't, if you don't want to wear a mask because it's impeding your civil liberties, then keep your ass home.
I feel like it's both ways. I feel like you can't go out because it is impede, you know what I mean?
But if it's for the greater good, I mean, I have a child that wants to return to school full time. And those cheerleaders and football coaches or football team members in at a middle school want to go to school full time. Right. And as a parent, just do what we can to get our kids back to school.
Right.
I mean, even Donald Trump said in his speech last night, we will get back to normal. We just have to keep going.
We do.
So don't we want to get there rather than cause fights with everybody?
We do. But we got told 2 weeks, shut the whole thing down. It's been almost a fucking year. You've got writers out and about not wearing masks, not getting arrested for it, not following policy. We're getting told don't go to church, but it's okay if you want to go protest unprotected. Uh-huh. So I'm getting tired of the hypocrisy around the whole thing. Because if it's one way, then it's one way for fucking everybody. If you're walking down the street without a mask, then your ass should be arrested. But uh-huh. because you're protesting, that doesn't give you a pass on it.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to, you know what I mean? I watched a video of a group of church people out in the open praying, getting arrested. But the rioters don't get arrested for doing that. And it just irks the fuck out of me.
So then the rioters just have to say that they have health issues or anxiety and they don't have to wear it, right?
Right. Well,
so then they're exempt. And then numbers go back up and we're all fucking quarantined again for a mandatory 30 days.
Oh,
when does it fucking stop?
When, you know, that's the, and I guess that's, you know, part of the conspiracy theory, right? Like, that it's, because look, it's going to go up. And you want to know why it's going to go up? Because flu season's about to hit.
Yeah, of course.
So we're going to see a spike in the numbers because everyone's going to go in for the flu thinking they have COVID because it's basically the same symptoms. And your numbers are going to go up.
Yeah.
It's just frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm over the argument of any of it. I've always been a rules are rules. Whether or not I don't like to wear a mask, I don't want to fucking do it. And I don't like to do it because it's on my fucking face and I don't want anything on my face. Plain right. and simple. But I know that if I choose to go into a restaurant from point A to point B, I need to respect the rules of that restaurant, and that's to wear my mask. And once I'm seated, and that the rule is once you're seated, you can take it off. But then once you get up to go to the bathroom, you have to put it back on. Well, guess what? I just don't go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
We have choices, right? When I love when people start saying, you're taking away my freedom. No, you still have choices.
Oh, great.
You're not being forced to attend that school football game. You're not being forced to sit down at your local restaurant. You're not being forced. I mean, we're talking about rights and freedoms that are a little absurd when people are saying they're taking away my rights to go eat at a local Arby's. Give me a break.
And
go through the drive-thru and eat your shit at home.
Right. And that I'm fine with. Look, you make the choice not to wear the mask and you get asked to leave. You can leave. And that's fine. And I'm okay with that. That's that business's right to do that. And it's my right to walk out the door and go give my money to another establishment that doesn't allow me to do that. And which we did. The other day, we went to Five Guys and they were like, you have to put on a mask. And Dion's like, no, fuck this. And we literally walked across the street and ate at Chipotle.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's perfect. I think this lady and everybody screaming that she's going to sue the public school is just ridiculous. You, first of all, I hope that the two kids that were sitting with her were not her fucking children. I can't imagine setting that example for my children. What did you just do? We tell people to comply with the police, right? We tell black men to not resist arrest.
Agreed.
When they're looking at you saying, what did I do? What did I do? And the officer's telling you to turn around. And we look at those videos and say, well, he said to turn around and the guy did not comply. Now we're going to cheer this woman on for not complying. You don't get two sets of rules. Quite honestly, if she was a black man, she probably would have been shot. And then we all would have watched the video and said, well, you see, she kicked at him. She did this. She did that. And I saw the dad like snatch the kid up. I can't imagine how scared those kids were. Shame on her.
Right. And look, she wants to sue the school board. That's great. You know what? The officer comes up, says you're wearing the mask. She says, no, you have to leave. You get up, you fucking leave, and then you hire an attorney and you take care of it civilly later on.
Right. Yeah, good luck. Maybe she could use her Trump money to get an attorney. She's not going to get an attorney. Give me a break. The fact that she even had her fucking mask in her back pocket, like, lady, I hope this was worth it for you. I hope the stance you took was worth it.
And maybe for her it was.
We'll see. I don't want to see your ass on TV crying about how your wrist hurt. Wouldn't have hurt if you would have just stood up and put your arms behind your back.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah. Absolutely. So, I don't agree with the whole fighting on the cops, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't resist arrest. You comply.
And I wouldn't be able to be there. Like, mm-hmm. I personally would not have been able to watch my child run their track race because sitting there with a mask on my face would have caused so much anxiety. I would have had a panic attack and broke down.
Yeah. And that's your choice. And unfortunately, the way it goes this year, right? There's a lot of kids that are on that field or that aren't on that field because their parents and their safety has required them to stay home.
Now, I have a question, which is interesting. How are they having a track race and the kids can't wear any masks because that track is not 6 feet apart?
What do you mean? The kids aren't wearing, athletes aren't wearing the mask. I mean, even right. in the NFL, they're not wearing masks.
Right. But the germs are still spreading nonetheless.
Right. But they've made an exception for it. I mean, we're not going to ask our children. It's not safe. You can't even wear it in the store. You can't breathe.
Agreed. So I guess you said rules are rules.
The rules are that they don't have to wear them. So that's very simple. They've said the kids don't have to wear them. The athletes don't have to wear them.
So our numbers will continue to go up because our athletes
in a very small percentage. In a very small percentage. You're talking about 300 guests compared to 50 athletes. Those numbers don't compare. Those 500 or 50 athletes then are tracked, and at least in the NFL, right? They're all wearing bracelets. They're tracking who they're coming in engagement with. The staff mm-hmm. along the sidelines are required to wear a mask where the actual athletes are not.
Okay.
And again, if you want your child to play sports, which is, it's not a mandatory thing for your daughter to be a cheerleader, a football player, to run track is a privilege. And this year, if you want that privilege, your child doesn't have to wear a mask, but you do. Do you want to participate? Yes or no?
Right.
They're not impeding your rights. It's a privilege. It's not a right to be able to play school athletes. There's a big difference. When people start going, my rights, give me a fucking break. You still have choices. They're not locking you in anywhere. You have choices. You pick your choice. You pick your path.
Right.
And then accept the consequences from it.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
So
which is, I agree, which is why I said I would not be at that event.
Yeah, which is fine, right? Which then might make you not include your child that year. Maybe your child feels the same way, which again, that's cool. That's up to them.
Right.
The other thing that I wanted to talk about, because we had mentioned the police, was that the Breonna
Taylor.
Taylor, yeah. So the police were just indicted or not indicted in her murder. And they were not indicted in her murder, but indicted for shooting bullets and endangering the neighbors next door.
Right. Only one officer. Two of them got off completely. Right.
So this comes out, and there is, leading up to all of this, there's all this justice for Breonna Taylor, Her boyfriend that was in the bed with her fired back and is in jail for murder charges, right? Or, yeah, murder, I think. There was outrage based on the outcome of the investigation, where people mm-hmm. think that these police officers should be charged with murder. And I was asking Nate, and maybe you know more than I do, because I don't know exactly, but
okay.
It is my thought of what happened is that they were looking for her ex-boyfriend. Somebody requested a warrant. They issued a warrant at his previous address, which was her current address, mm-hmm. which with her boyfriend. The warrant was issued correctly with that address. The detectives, whoever it might have been, the DA, gave them that address. The officers go and comply with the warrant within the laws of that state or county or whatever it might mm-hmm. be. Even though nobody likes this non-response, or I don't know what the law is called, where they just barge in and...
It's called a no-knock warrant.
Yeah, the no-knock warrant, that not everybody is in agreeance with that, but the police officers follow those rules. They issued the warrant and proceeded with the warrant as it was printed.
Right.
So for them to go in and then receive fire makes sense to me that they're going to shoot. Now, do you need to be aware that you're in an apartment complex with shared walls, that there might be another baby on the other side of that wall? Yes, because just like I wouldn't expect a police officer to walk in and recklessly shoot in a fucking classroom where there were a bunch of kids.
Right.
You would expect him to react in that same way and maybe not spray the whole fucking room. It's so that charge, fine. I mean, we could say it was accidental. They just weren't thinking. I can just imagine how it all went down.
Right.
Same thing with the boyfriend, right? The boyfriend, imagine you're sleeping. You're not a criminal.
Right.
You're sleeping, but then all of a sudden these three people in the dark come. And it doesn't matter if they announced who they were.
Which they did.
Yeah, that moment of panic, you respond and you do what you're legally allowed to do, which is protect yourself and your girlfriend laying next to you.
Yep.
And you shoot, because it's not like the police turned on the lights, right? They beam lights into your face so you can't see, but they don't knock politely and say, "Hey, it's us. We're coming in.
Well, can you open the door for us?"
Right.
Yeah.
So in my mind, both parties acted accordingly, just like any one of us should.
Right.
To me, the Black Lives Matter and the protesters and everybody who should be upset, and I'm upset for this girl, right? She
right.
did not deserve to die, but the error goes all the way back to whoever job was to investigate where the criminal was and to investigate the fact that they put the wrong address on there. They put an old address. They never once went to verify that address to see if he was there before they sent three armed officers in the middle
right.
of the night. The error and the blame goes on that person. Why aren't they going after that person?
I don't know. And I think, and I agree with you. Like, I agree with you 100%, because it is a tragedy what happened among everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a no win-win situation. Because
right.
Dion and I were talking about it. I said, Dion, I said, if cops barged into our house.
You shoot. Yeah.
We're shooting.
Yeah.
That's
You're
our
not criminals. You don't know what the fuck's going on. You don't know if they bought those costumes. You don't. It's the
right.
middle of the night.
You don't know if it's somebody trying to rob your house pretending
right.
to be cops.
Right.
So, look, and I think part of the reason why, no, and I agree with you, they should absolutely be going back to the person who is supposed to verify the address.
Right.
That's
the error.
That's
where the fucking
error.
Mistake happened. Yeah.
But they're not going to, the media is not doing it, because the media, have you noticed, it's cops shooting people. The narrative is the cops are murdering people. The cops are bad. We need to get rid of our cops. So they have taken this horrible, horrible tragedy that has happened, and they are spinning it and playing it for their narrative.
Well, I think this is what happens, and this is why it reminds me of this mass thing in Ohio, is that we all get in the weeds, right? We start
mm-hmm.
arguing about whether or not mask are legal? Are you now a herd? Are you this or that? When it really comes down to black and white, the school had a policy. You didn't follow the policy. That now allows them to ask you to leave. You did not. You're now breaking an actual law called trespassing. Correct. You get arrested. Very black and white. Same yes. thing with anything that happens, right? You have to stop and look at the events. They are doing themselves an injustice. The protesters and the people that where it matters, that you're right. The media is helping them make it. It's the police. It's the police. It's these officers. It's not the officers in this Correct. Case that deserve to be. And I don't even know if the address thing deserves an arrest, right? Maybe there is some type of reckless endangerment that comes along with it. Because if you're sending people in with guns, you better hope that you're checking your fucking right, records.
Because you don't know what's going to happen. So somebody put three armed officers into a dangerous situation, not knowing that everybody in that room was completely innocent.
Right, right. So it's, I agree with the outcome of what's being charged. I would like to see the boyfriend out. I think that he acted just as yes, anybody else would.
I agree.
He was not a criminal. Police came in and they had guns out and he defended himself. He had no fucking clue what was going on. It would be different if it was the boyfriend that they were coming after and he was fighting because he didn't want to go to jail. This guy was defending his home and his woman. Why is he still in jail? Fucking let him out.
Right, and there's a due process, right? Look, you shoot somebody, whether you are justified or not, you have to go to jail and you have to go through the legal process, right? So that's fair among everybody. You know?
Right.
Now, another thing that happened after, and they got caught, 10... It was like, I don't remember how long, but it was really, really short amount of time. The moment the verdict came out that the officers weren't being, or the two officers weren't being charged, U-Hauls full of bricks became available for the protesters and the rioters. So they had already planned to start burning that city before the verdict was already released.
Mm-hmm.
And they caught the woman who rented the fucking U-Hauls.
Oh, really? Did they arrest her?
They arrested her.
Yes. Oh, good.
And it was like, you don't get to just fucking throw bricks because you're angry.
Right.
You know? Right. And I was like...
No, I agree with that.
It's predetermined. It's premeditated.
Well, and plus you have to think of what change have you actually created? You've been doing this since May. What change have you created? Nothing at this point. I believe in protests. I believe in our right to do it. I believe in our ability to make people uncomfortable. That's the great thing about this country. But if you're doing all that, make sure you're making forward movement. If not, what are you doing out
right.
there?
And what you're doing is you're pissing off other people. Because the people you're hurting are not the people you're supposed to be fighting against.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're hurting the communities that you're claiming to be protecting while you're burning and looting their businesses. This isn't about your cause. This is about creating chaos and destruction.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's craziness. Or it could also just be about boredom, right? Because people are still unemployed and have nothing else to do and they're jumping on this bandwagon and still receiving unemployment checks. So why aren't they're not in a hurry to go back to their cashier jobs.
And I'm sure these people are also getting paid to do this. There's someone I'm sure paying. Come on.
I'm sure there's couple groups out there paying, but I don't know.
Someone had to provide the bricks. Someone had to pay for the U-Haul. Someone has to provide for all of the bear spray and the shit that they're using. Somebody's paying for it. That shit.
Yeah, but you don't think it's just a member of them paying for it? You think there's a higher up paying for it?
I don't know, but I'm just saying it's a lot of money coming in, and these people are on unemployment.
Yeah, I mean, that's just me being an asshole saying those people aren't unemployment. I mean, there's plenty of wealthy Democrats, right?
oh, there's plenty of wealthy Democrats, but I don't see those wealthy Democrats in the streets.
Out there protesting?
Violently protesting in the riots.
I don't know. I disagree. You see some of those stupid fucking celebrities out there in California. There's been all kinds of photos of them in masks and everything and getting in trouble and being blasted for being involved in these riots. One of those little punk asses tried to play it off and say that it was just for his YouTube channel.
Did you see Alyssa Milano's thing? So Alyssa Milano has been all about defund the police. She hates the cops, blah, blah, blah. Bitch called the cops on a little black boy who had a BB gun. Oh, isn't that interesting?
Nice. Well, he's lucky that little kid didn't get shot. Yeah.
But why didn't she handle it herself? She's all about defunding the police.
Where was
he? I don't know. I just saw that she called the cops on a black kid who had a BB gun.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see
that. Yeah, it was a tweet.
Well, yeah, speaking of celebrities, so this is something you came over to my house on Friday night after Jen's celebration. Yeah. We had chili and gumbo. By the way, which one was your favorite, chili or gumbo?
The chili, because it wasn't spicy.
Yeah, I
didn't eat the gumbo.
Okay. I was the opposite. I love her gumbo, so I ate a lot of bowls of gumbo and no chili, so I didn't get to try the chili. But the gumbo was fucking delicious.
It
was
so good.
Yeah, it was so good. So this came up when you were here and you left me fucking mind blown. We were talking about Caitlyn Jenner and you referred to Caitlyn Jenner as a lesbian.
Yes.
How is that possible?
Because when you are a man and you transition to a woman, and if you are identifying yourself as a woman and you will continue to sleep with women, you thus are a lesbian.
But you once told us on this podcast that somebody came into your house that I think was a boy trying to identify as a girl, but was not living his life, whatever he was, as a girl, had not gone through the transition changes, had not dressing and living. And at this point, Caitlyn is saying that she identifies as a woman, but has chosen not to remove her penis. So she is technically still physically a man.
Okay. So,
and if that goes to that same rule of where she has the financial means to remove her penis, but is choosing not to.
Then she's.
How did we determine she was a girl?
Then she's not a girl.
Because she has boobs.
Yeah, that doesn't count. I'm sorry.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's confusing. You still got a dick,
right,
bro.
So you're a fucking boy. I don't care how you dress that shit up. And
that's why I was like, wait, she can't be a lesbian. She's got a dick.
I thought she had removed the dick.
No, okay. She
hasn't. No, then take that bitch off of the time of the year for woman of the year because she's not a fucking woman. She doesn't have doesn't have a vagina. If you don't have a fucking vagina, whether naturally made or man-made, you're not a fucking woman.
Right. See, so now this feels more familiar to me because this is the conversation that you and I have had in the past. Because then we also talked about the fact, like, there's certain people that can't afford it, right? If Caitlyn Jenner was an everyday person that there's a lot of trans people that struggle because they just don't have the money to afford this type of surgery. Right. So then they're stuck in this body that doesn't feel like is theirs. I get that. And I can sympathize with that, and I can get on board with that. If you want me to call you a woman, you're dressing as one. You're just the ugliest damn woman.
Or not, because some of these ladies, I mean, straight, they look like women.
I'm talking about the ones that aren't taking hormones. Yeah. You got a full fucking beard. You got these big manly hands. But I can get it because financially, it's fucking difficult, right? But Kate, there is something, and this is what I was telling you guys on Friday, is that there's something about Caitlyn's dick that she's looking at and is like, I still want that. Why didn't she cut it off?
Because she's not really transgender. That's why. Because she doesn't really want to be a woman. Because she's not willing to get rid of the one thing that makes her a man.
Right.
So, this whole... So, yeah, she... Look, in the end, she's a fucking fancy cross-dresser is what it is. Because, in my opinion, if you want to be a transgender, especially Caitlyn Jenner, who has the financial means to do so, you fucking do it. But if you're not going to get rid of it, fuck you, you're a fraud, and you're a disgrace to all the transgenders who actually want to go and get it done.
To make that full transition. It just, I'm bothered by the fact that she's not going all the way.
Right.
And that we're being forced to refer to her
as a woman.
As a she.
And she's not.
When she still has her dick.
And she has no reason to still have her dick.
No, financially she can do it. There is something in her mind that is attached to that dick.
Which,
and that dick makes you a man.
Right, which means she is not fully a woman.
No, she's agree.
And look. Look, you know what? You can, and I'm going to be straight up, and a lot of people are going to hate me for this, but even if you were to fully go through the transition, I will be kind and nice and say that you're a woman and call you with the proper pronouns and da da da.
I'll be kind and
But in my heart of hearts, you're not a woman. You don't understand puberty. You don't understand periods. You don't understand cramps. You don't understand having children. You don't understand the fucking hormones that we go through. Right. And you also don't fucking understand the discrimination that women have to go through from an early age as well. So I have a fucking problem with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I was taken aback on Friday when you said that she was a lesbian and doubled down on it. And I was like, nope.
But...
I'm going to talk to Tabby because...
But in my defense, yes, if a transgender fully transgenders to a woman and still continues to sleep with women, you are a fucking lesbian.
Yes, agreed.
When you got two, you got pussies rubbing against each other, you're a lesbian. Yes. That's how it works.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree with that. That being said, this conversation, and this goes into something that is very sensitive. Oh. So I want to lay it out for you. This conversation from Friday night then transitioned to my best friend, Jamie, who was in town, and I chatting about that feeling of not identifying with yourself or, you know, males that are identifying as female and trying to figure out, you know, from a medical side, and just kind of go with me.
Okay. I think I walked out of the room by this point.
No, we talked about this the next
day. Oh, okay. So I wasn't there.
Just the two of us. So this is our thought these are feelings and not facts, like according to what the guys from The Brilliant Idiots say, or Flagrant 2. So... all males' DNA are exactly the same. Not DNA, but the components of our body, right? We are male, female. You can tell from your body how it's made. Chromosomes are the same on each side. All men have the same chromosomes. Women have the same chromosomes. So physically, your bodies are male and physically they're female. So what you're saying when you say I identify, it's a feeling, right? It is a feeling in your head or your heart, which technically feelings in your heart is not a scientific. Your heart doesn't feel feelings.
Your brain, right?
Head does. So let's go back to it's happening in your brain, right? Which then means, is there trauma to the brain that's caused these feelings? Has there been a chemical imbalance within the brain that then causes these feelings? Or is there a deficiency, which is frightening to say, in the hormones that are causing these feelings? And if it is chemical or hormonal, which the same thing as anxiety, which you and I both suffer from, depression is cured with a little pill. Could these feelings then be cured with a little pill.
Okay. So I don't, yeah, this is definitely a sticky situation.
Yeah, because then I have another question for you. If this pill is created, which this pill could essentially, and this is where it gets gross, could wipe out transgender, gay, and any of this, right? If this now is the pill to cure,
okay,
is there a need for it, right? If you're thinking about 13, 14-year-old boys that are in their room crying because they feel fucking weird and they have a dad that's out there going, you know, go, son, go, be manly, fuck girls. And in his mind, he's like, I don't want to fuck girls. I want to be a girl. But if you told Junior, if you take this pill, you will be okay. You'll feel like your dad wants you to feel.
Right.
Are we okay giving those to our children to avoid teen suicides, mental health issues, right? Like, does it become, ugh, a vaccine at that point? Right? Like, oh, I saw your face. So
yeah.
It's weird, right? Now, if it could solve a medical issue, but then it's erasing an entire type of person, possibly.
Well, I guess, and again, wow, that is such a fucking loaded conversation.
And let me tell you, welcome to episode 15, because I purposely did not tell you any of these three fucking topics, because I wanted true and raw Tabby of how do you feel about this.
You like, avoided this talk. You didn't tell me on purpose.
Yeah, I wanted you to. Oh. Yeah, because I needed to lay it out for you and so that you could just sit back and think about it, right? Because, again, remember we said two things can be right at the same time. You could want to help these. There's some people that feel like it's this mental thing inside of them that I'm sure at some point they wish they could stop, right? Just feel normal.
Right.
But then
there's other
who's telling them that it's not normal?
Oh, for fuck's sake, Sabrina. You know what? You set my ass up.
It's crazy, right? Like, there's no right answer.
Right, and so I guess
There's no right
okay,
answer.
Okay, so you know what? I guess that is based on the assumption that transgender is a mental disorder, right?
Yeah, okay? 100%. And that is just an assumption.
And I have
and not,
right, and
the word disorder makes me feel uncomfortable.
Right. But I also have, and that would be the word that would end up being used medically, right?
100%.
So here's my problem. Here's my problem with that is that back in the 50s, you were gay, you had a medical disorder, and they had a pill to try to treat you. And if you go back to the 1800s, if you were a woman, you were the medical disorder. And they would try to treat you, right? Because of your emotions and the way that you're reacting. And as science progressed, we learned that that's not necessarily the case, right?
Right.
So I have, it's a hard, hard topic. Like, do I believe everyone who says that they are gay are gay? No, I don't. I feel like...
Yeah. Me neither,
I feel like you have a percentage of people who are truly, truly, truly gay, okay? My parents are fucking gay, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am not gay. I am bisexual, and I understand the difference. A gay woman cannot and does not really want to sleep with a man, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like as it's become more and more popular, people tend to jump on it and try it, right? Like, oh, maybe I feel this way. So maybe I might want to try sleeping with a woman just to see, right? Or sleeping with a boy, see if that's what it is.
Right.
So, but with transgender, I wonder if, because it has gained a lot of popularity over the past couple of years, right? It is more in the media. Caitlyn Jenner, the transgender that was on Orange is the New Black, she's made a huge statement and has built a network and an audience. And even though RuPaul is a cross-dresser, that's where a lot of it started, right?
Yeah.
I mean... Hal, I'd go to the gay bars as a kid and you watch cross the drag queens get up there and you're like, damn, right? But does right. that mean because you want to dress as a woman, does that mean you want to be a woman? There is quite a difference mm-hmm. between dressing
right.
and being. And I wonder if a lot of people just think the grass is greener on the other side.
Mm-hmm. So if a pill was invented, if they were able to connect the desire to transition from one sex to mm-hmm. another, let's just say transition. Let's not even say gay feelings okay. at all. Just the desire that you are trapped in the wrong body.
Okay.
If there is a pill created to fix that,
mm-hmm.
do you support that? Where I kind of feel like I feel like it should be an option.
I think what should happen is if you are a parent and you are catching your 13-year-old boy crying and desperate for help, that yes, you go to a doctor and you talk to him about it. And if that is his choice, right?
Yeah, that's the hard part, right? Is now having adults dictate to minors
their choice, right? Because now, right. And because you're going to have adults that are going to go and say, well, you're going to take this pill. You're going to transform. Right.
Yeah.
And when the child may not want to remain, right? But because they're a minor.
Right.
So, and then that whole word vaccine, No. We don't mandate that.
Wiping out.
Right. Yeah. That's wiping out. And that's genetic control. That's shit Hitler wanted to do.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So, you know what? I feel like the percentage of people who truly want to transition and really, really, really feel this way and desire this way is a lot less than what's being presented. Do you know what I mean? Because Caitlyn Jenner, for example, won't cut off her dick. And I'm sorry, right. You know what? Caitlyn Jenner won't cut off his dick.
Right.
He won't. Right. He won't right. do it. And that tells you that there is still a connection to his maleness. And if you have a connection to your maleness, you're still a male. You may be a really fucking feminine male, but you're still a male.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting because, you know, as a mother, if you can avoid teen suicide and these feelings that truly might be a chemical imbalance, which I know can upset people to think that. And we're just trying to think of it as a black and white situation. Our body's setup is exactly the same. The only thing that is different is the chemical and hormones running through our bodies. If that can be adjusted with a pill mm-hmm. and that avoids future discrimination, future attacks, hate crimes, and things that you could avoid, would people take it? And would parents want their kids to take it?
Right.
And
but then again, if you...
It's a cleansing of almost some sort. Like you said, it's Hitler-like. But if is it a mental disorder that is going untreated?
Right. But again, it couldn't just not be a mental disorder. It could just be, it could just honestly be a choice. And that's okay. My thing is... You could prevent a teen suicide, but if you're mandating this for children and you're suppressing what they truly feel, even though it is a small amount, what do you think is going to happen when they turn into an adult?
Right.
You have the other side of it. So which side's greater? What's the greater good? Which I really feel like it needs to be an individual, base-by-base decision. The treatment needs to be considered on... Base by base, the same way that we do with anything. The same way you treat your anxiety is completely different than the way I treat my anxiety. You know what I mean? We get to make those choices. And, you know, unfortunately, if they do create a pill, there are going to be some kids that don't have a choice because they are minors. right?
Right.
And that's going to be sad. But if they truly feel this way, even when they get older and they stop taking the pill, those chemicals will reproduce.
And then right. Is it a chemical that you have to be on, like anxiety, depression, for the rest of your life?
Right. So it really depends, because I don't take antidepressants. Mm-hmm. I can't. They make me sadder. They make me sick. Right. So mm-hmm. I treat my anxiety very holistic. I figured out what my triggers are, and I avoid my triggers, and I take mm-hmm. steps to take care of me, right? But some people can't do that. They have to take a pill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I shouldn't be forced to take a pill because you have to take a pill.
Right. Yeah, I agree. What it reminds me of when parents, I saw this on this Instagram page called Scary Mommy. Uh-huh. And it's a picture of a little girl getting her ear pierced. And the caption underneath said, "My ears, my choice." And it's it was an article about how she was not going to pierce her daughter's ears as a child because it was her choice, her body, her choice. And I rolled my fucking eyes. Give me a break. Quite honestly, I've told each one of my children, do not draw on your body. Do not do this to your body. Do not do that body. The same way that the Navy or military says to a soldier, your body belongs to the Department of the Government until you're out of your enlistment right. period. The same thing goes to your body as for my children. You belong to me until you're no longer on my a payroll.
Right.
At that time, you can draw, tattoo, pierce your body as you want.
Right.
If you're 9 months old and I want to pierce your ears, little girl, I'm piercing your fucking little ears. Pretty much. If you don't like it when you get older, don't wear
them.
And
let them close up. But give me, and this, this is our biggest problem, okay? We have real fucking problems in our country. Mm-hmm. And you've got Karen or Leslie out there going, my daughter's ears, her right, blah, blah.
Her ears, her way. Give me a
fucking break. We have other issues that have to be handled than whether or not your 9-month-year-old daughter has a right to have her ears pierced or not. Give me.
So stupid.
You know what? Oh my God, I'm good. Dion is so right. Like, the problem we have in this country is that we have it too fucking good.
Well, we do. And that, I think, goes on both sides, right? Because this is what happens. You get one side where they're saying, my vagina, my rights, my pussy, my rights, my this, my rights. Then they yell, my ears, my rights. And we're like, what the fuck did you just say?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Everybody take 2 steps to the right.
Right.
Right? Like, then they're screaming, equal rights for gays, equal rights for this, equals right. Now we don't want you to call us this. We don't. Okay, cool. We don't want you to call us that. We now don't want you to call us as anything because now you're discriminating. Well, what the fuck?
Exactly. They've all gone too fucking far.
And I think that we do that too on the right side, is that we have this extreme right people that when we talk about gun safety, when they say we need to take a look at gun safety, nobody's taking away my fucking guns. I'm going to buy more guns. I'm going to go. Okay, well, nobody said that. Like, chill the fuck out.
Yes.
But you can't help but everybody.
Everybody's lost their fucking minds.
It is.
And I told Dion this. Yeah, we were talking about it. He's like, he says something about, like, people don't know when to stop fighting. I said, and I'm like, you're right. But you want to know why? We look back in history. We look at the 70s. Well, hell, let's go ahead and go back to the 50s, right? The 50s, 1964, the civil rights movement. We idolize that. You were part of that generation. You were in there for this fight, and it was heroic and honorable and this amazing thing, and we idolize it. The 70s, we were fighting against the Vietnam War, and if you were part of it, you know what I mean? So we have these 80s, gay rights and AIDS and fighting for the change, and you were part of this something absolutely amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So every generation for the last 4 to 5 generations has had a cause. The problem mm-hmm. is now we have kids coming up who don't have a cause. So they're creating mm-hmm. one out of stupidity. I feel like...
I don't know if I'd agree with that. I think there is a cause, right? I do think that there is racism throughout this country that needs to be visited and addressed and some movement made. There's always room for improvement, regardless of how great we have it now. There's always room for improvement.
Right.
And I agree with you that every generation has had a fight and something to fight for. And this is their time to do that. But you better make sure it counts. And you better make sure it's not just a social media post, right? Like, it's going to have longevity to it. If not, you're wasting your time.
And you make sure you're doing it in a way that's going to cause real change. And I'm not really referring to, because yes, there are, racism in our country, right? Not going to deny that. And that is something that we have to do and change on an individual level. And yes, and a legal level as well. I'm not saying, right? But that comes from education and acceptance and learning, right? I'm talking about the fucking Karens who are going, I have a cause for my daughter's ears. Fuck off. Fuck off. You have no cause. You live in your little utopia. Shut the fuck up. I understand you have a deep desire to be part of something, right? But guess what? Right. You're out of luck. You're done. And unless things start rolling fucking backwards, be happy.
Yeah. I think this is where I think that this generation fucks up. The most recent generation, which I don't even know what they're called anymore. But it's similar to... Have you watched the documentary on Netflix called Social Dilemma yet? So I'll just tell you the synopsis of it. I don't even know if that's a proper word, but whatever. It sounded smart. Okay, so if your friends have watched it on Facebook, you will see that as soon as they watch it, they post about how much of an eye-opener it is on Facebook and social media and how they need to take a step back and... their eyes have been open to this secret world. So the documentary is by a bunch of previous employees of companies like Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter, all of the MySpace, any of the platforms that started all of social media, right? They are a group of employees from Silicon Valley. So if you know Silicon Valley, it's the big tech industry in California. Before they were known for making things, they made computers and technology. And now instead of making things, they're making platforms, these social platforms for us to use. And what these employees go on to say is that at first when it was created, there was a puristic point of view, right? Let's create this place for people to go, for people to see things, whatever it might be. And then they looked at it and said, well, how do we make money from it? Because it's a free service. All of those are free services for me or for us. So it says what they did was they created these algorithms, right, to go on and track what I click. So if we're just talking about me, they go on to see what my search history is within Facebook, what my patterns are, what my whatever is. And each of these platforms have that. And then they're using advertisers. And based on my clicking and my likes and things like that, they're adding advertisers in to my personal feed. So the advertisers you see are personally for you. The videos that they're suggesting are personally for you based on your click history. And they were saying how dangerous this was, right? How this creates this hole that we all dig into. And then 9 hours later, you've spent all this time on Facebook or YouTube or whatever it might be. And how bad and dangerous that is.
So what you're talking about is called target marketing.
Right. Again, it's something that they created a program for because it's social media, but it's not something that the advertisement companies haven't been doing for decades, right? They've been doing it target marketing for everybody. I do it in my own business, target introductions. You're purposely looking for people that have like minds, right? That's not anything new. They've just created a computer program that is very good at it, which allows people to get sucked in for hours at a time. Now, what they did say and talk about is the fact that once this happened, then media, not social media, but then media gets on board. And media is gaslighting by posting all these. Page Six does it all the time. I'm a fan of Page Six just because I like junk news, but I know that I can't believe anything from it. Sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not. But the headline will say so-and-so got fired, but the article will say they came to an agreement and she chose not to renew her contract. Now, you have these people that are online that believe every single thing. And so then they'll say, so-and-so was fired. This lady with the mask, the headlines read all the way up until last night that she was arrested for not wearing her mask. When you actually click and read through, that's not what she was arrested for. She was arrested for trespassing. This morning, all the news articles have been adjusted to she's been arrested for trespassing. Yesterday, the argument on Facebook was, how dare you arrest somebody for not wearing a mask? It's not an actual law. It's a policy. You can't do that. Well, that's not the case. But now you have all these people fucking arguing because social media and media have continued to share this narrative that's not right and how dangerous that is. So then when people got done watching this, their feeling was social media is bad. They're using this algorithm to brainwash us. They're using this algorithm to trick us into all this time on these social platforms. And it's bad, 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 bad. So my coworker tells me to go watch it and how much I'm going to really hate social media from this point. Quite honestly, I did not finish it because I found them all to be disgruntled fucking employees.
Okay.
They all made money from it. I have nothing. I find nothing wrong with this algorithm to find what personally benefits me, what personally entertains me. Actually, thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for personally sending me things that only I want to see. And then it's my choice to click away.
I agree. I like, so look, I have no problem with the target marketing based off of things that I click, based off how I'm scrolling on the phone. Mm-hmm. What I do have a problem with is how you start getting advertisements for shit you're talking about. And I have a problem with that because it's an invasion of privacy. You have no right to listen to what I'm saying inside of my private home without a warrant.
How do you know they're listening to you?
So I have had multiple situations where I have had converse, actually not even me. I had my cousin in the other room talking about monkey bread, the dessert. I'm on Pinterest and I'm scrolling. Sabrina, I don't fucking look at desserts. I've never typed in monkey bread. I've never nothing. All of a sudden, while they're still talking about monkey bread recipes start showing up. Right. I didn't fucking ask for that. I can understand when I physically type in something or I'm clicking, then you're giving me something I'm technically asking for. But I didn't ask for it. I didn't even fucking say it. Mm-hmm. And now I have this shit on my phone. You can't come into my house and listen without a fucking warrant.
But how do you know they're listening?
How else did it show up?
So they're listening through your phone?
Yes. They're like it's listening through your phone. Your phone is a fucking recording device. All the time, 24/7. And I have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with the target marketing, right? I think it's great. It's a great consumer thing. And I'm sure you're right. These were disgruntled employees trying to get this, right? You know, get money.
Yeah, to me, it just doesn't make sense. It's, you know, the algorithms. This was the funny thing, is that the documentary is available on Netflix. And even before my coworker recommended it to me, I saw it under my suggested items to watch. Well, guess what? That suggestive items to watch is created based on the same algorithms that they're talking about. They know that I'm interested in documentaries because I've watched documentaries and they've tracked that. So you can't be mad at the same thing that you're thankful for.
Right. And I agree with that. Look, it's target marketing. It's fine. That's not a big deal. The other thing, as far as people spending so much time on their phone, look, this is a part of the problem with society, is that we are in a blame society. It's always somebody else's fucking fault for our decisions. You are a grown ass man or woman, and if you don't want to spend 9 hours on the fucking phone, turn it off.
Right.
Turn it off. Put it down. Put it in another room. Go do this other shit that you want to do. Don't blame the technology that you're benefiting from that was causing you to spend all this time.
Right. You know, plus, like Andrew Schultz said, because they were talking about this too on Brilliant Idiots. Flagrant 2. The reason we have 8 to 9 hours to spend on these social media platforms is because of the technology that social media and these telephones that these tech guys
created for us
have given us back time. Right. I don't have to walk through Walmart anymore to go grocery shopping. I just click it on my phone and technically I don't even have to go there. They'll just deliver it to me. So that hour and a half I've wasted, I might as well spend it on my phone if that's what I like doing. You know, you don't have to go to the library to check out a book. You can do that directly to your phone. You don't have to even listen to or read a book. It will read it to you.
Right.
Thanks to your phone. Your phone has created all this extra space for you. If you choose to spend that on social media, that's fine.
Right.
If that's your hobby, is look at all those people that fucking play games.
Oh, Xboxes, all day, right?
PlayStations. Right? Yeah. Nobody's complaining about, well, I take that back. That used to be the big trigger, right? Well, that's what's caused all this violence in our kids. That's why these kids are doing these mass shootings. Look at these terrible video games. Give me a break.
Yeah.
No, your kid shot somebody because they're fucking nuts in their head. There's something mentally wrong with that.
Maybe we should make a pill for that.
Right. I know. Well, that's the thing too, right? When we're talking about mental health, you think about schizophrenics, right? They were put in mental health wards because they were just completely crazy before they realized that they were schizophrenic and they could take a pill and they don't need to be locked up and chained up and tied up like they're nutsos.
But the stigma around schizophrenics, because I've never met one, right? But like when you think of someone who's schizophrenic, you think of someone who belongs in a mental institution.
Right. Well, that's because that's what we've seen, right? On TV. That is
right.
They're completely nutso.
Yeah.
So the other thing that I thought was interesting about this social dilemma is when they talk about the fact that we believe everything, or there is a group of people out there that believe everything that they read, which is true, right? Regardless if it's on the left or right, they believe that Antifa is out there doing all this stuff. They believe that there's not true protesters out there, or they believe there's only protesters out there and there's no Antifa and we've made all of that up, or you know, whatever headline you want to believe is out there. We come from a generation when you go into a grocery store, you would see on either side of you the National Enquirer, Star magazines that said the most fucking crazy headlines you've ever seen.
Woman had alien baby.
Right. So then you'd read that out loud and your parents would tell you that's all bullshit. Don't believe anything.
Right.
We were thankfully given that information from the beginning of time that you can't believe what's put out there.
Right.
Right. Thanks to these fucking Star, Inquirer, all of these things, you can't believe it. And so then our parents have instilled it into us, don't believe what's out there. Now you get this generation who believes that the internet is God, and they're not passing that on to their next generation is where we start to get screwed.
Oh, yeah, because they're going to believe everything. I mean, they do. But you know what? It's interesting because I know people who are older, like from our parents' generation, that believe fucking everything on the internet, too. And I'm like,
yeah, I think that comes more from the unwillingness to think
outside of
their box, right? It's when you talk about older generations and even some of us, right? I've got some of my own peers that will just believe what they see rather than do their own research, or believe that maybe people don't always tell the truth, right? Some people just aren't willing to accept what the world is like, is because the reality is too scary.
Yeah. So they put their head in a sand hole and just go on about their business.
Right. Right. Oh, I think the documentary to me was just, I don't know. It comes down to what we've talked about with the WAP, the wet ass pussy song from What's Her Name, and even the movie Cuties, or the I think it was a movie, it wasn't a documentary. Right. It becomes the parents' responsibility. The parents' responsibility of how much time you're allowing your kids to be on social media platforms, and how much
access
conversation are you having? Well, not access, right? Like, our parents told us that we were listening to gangster rap. Well, guess what? I didn't become a fucking gangster just because you listen to this type of music, just because you understand that there's different lifestyles out there, but it doesn't have to apply to you or transform you. Where your children can go and watch these things as long as you're having conversations and being parents, because that's your job. If you're allowing social media to raise your children, that's on you, you dumbasses.
Yeah.
And we can't blame social media for that.
No.
We can't blame social media for my daughter knowing what the WAP song is.
No. Yeah, and that's correct. But unfortunately, because of the society that we're living in, nobody takes responsibility. Nobody's saying we should be protecting our kids from this stuff, or at the least having a conversation about it, right? They're just like, oh, no, it's fine, whatever. And then when shit goes wrong, they want to blame the companies.
Mm-hmm.
Because we blame everybody for our own fucking mistakes. Nobody is held accountable.
Right. Yeah. No, I think, you know, the true thing of the social dilemma is that it needs to be a parents' responsibility to having dialogue of, hey, what did you see on the news today? Like, Lorelai has one of the news apps on her phone. Right. So she'll ask us about them, or we'll ask her, what have you seen, or what are you talking about, or what do you like? That's your responsibility to say, okay, well, even my son being 19, of, hey, on this Breonna Taylor thing, what did you think?
Right.
What did you think of the outcome? Okay, well, let's think about it from this point of view. And also let's think about it from that point of view, because that's the kind of people we should be. Let's listen to both sides and come up with our conclusions.
Agreed. And unfortunately, we don't have enough level-minded parents.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem. The problem is we don't have enough people who really want to be parents and ended up being parents unexpectedly and kind of just half-assing it.
Yeah, I don't know if, I think really we have, it's maybe not as big of an issue as media and social media make it out to be. Like this new social dilemma documentary, I think they want it to be such a big deal of why we should not like social media, why we shouldn't be listening. It's, to me, it's not a big deal, but I think there is an agenda out there to push it into a big deal. There's an agenda to say that, you know, parents aren't doing this, or Cardi B is corrupting our youth. Well, how? Prove it.
No.
Where? Where's your facts?
Right.
Not your feelings. Where's your facts?
Exactly. Cardi B is not corrupting youth. It is your responsibility as a parent.
Right.
If you don't want your child listening to that, you fucking block it. And
right,
with,
yeah.
And here's the other thing. Kids and the technology, there's so many parental technologies to block the shit you don't want. It's unreal. It's not like when you and I were kids that we could just go click, click, click and bypass the bullshit. You know what I mean? Hell, even Nate blocked you from porn one day. Remember?
I know. Not one day. He tried to do that shit for months.
So if Nate can block you from porn, imagine what he can block Lorelai from.
Yeah, yeah, especially now we have the new Google Home wireless system. Now he can really go in there and block specific words and all kinds of crazy shit. He's super excited.
Yeah, I bet he is.
Little dictator.
That's because he's so
I know, yes. Did you read the love letter from Dr. Dre?
I did. What the fuck did I read? Okay, because understand... The point.
Well, this is the point. So Dr. Dre and his wife are going through a divorce, right. His estranged wife. And it's been a big deal. She's requesting something like $2 million a month in child support.
Okay.
And so then, of course, because Dr. Dre is such a god in you know, pop culture, rap industry, everybody's hating on his fucking wife. You know, $2 million, that's too much money. How dare she? Blah, 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 blah. So somebody released a copy of a love letter that he wrote to her while she was still married to ex-NBA player so-and-so. Right. And so at that time in 1996. In that era, Dr. Dre was Dr. Dre, but he wasn't fucking Dr. Dre.
Right.
He's not who he was. Like, in this letter, he mentions the song California Love, yeah, which is one of his huge songs, that he was just working on and blew up, like, after that, right?
Okay.
So he said, I just thought this letter was an example of BDE, big dick energy, which I love in men. Like, I love in any size man, even if you're the littlest fella, if you have BDE, you just carry yourself in this different manner. And I also think in some ways it shows that he owes her child support and alimony for the rest of her life. So listen to what it says.
Okay.
It says, Nicole, hopefully, and he had to write a letter because there was no text messaging. Right. There wasn't
this
emails.
Is a handwritten letter, people.
Right. So, it is February 1995.
Okay.
Nicole, to a married woman, and this is what I'm talking about, BDE, where he just doesn't care. Hopefully you're doing well and you realize you need to quit fucking with Sadell and come home to your doctor. I will take care of you, baby girl. I'm in Nevada with Hype, looking at spots for this new video we're shooting for the single. I told you Pac is going to be on one. He is out, called California Love. So that's the reference to the song. We met a bunch of crazy naked motherfuckers in the desert today. They were putting up some type of giant wood man. I guess they have a big party and here for a bunch of days. I asked them how much they pay. They said nothing. And I was like, no money. Someone should get behind this shit and make some loot of these crazy fools. Because they said they will at least be 50 or 5,000 people. I think I will have my office look into it just to see if there's easy money to be made. I'm about to pass out, girl. Wish I was up in that ass. See you back in L.A., Dre. So a couple things. First of all, the fact that he even mentions his husband, her husband, and was like, have you quit that fool yet? Her husband could have opened this thing. Dr. Dre did not care.
Right.
Dr. Dre did not say, did not care when he was like, I'm about to fall asleep. Wish I was up in that ass. Like, good for him. He's making it very clear, I want you as my girl, not his girl.
Okay.
The other thing that I think is interesting is the thing that they're talking about, the party in Nevada, is Burning Man.
Okay.
And Dr. Dre is involved in Burning Man. And how much money that they've made from all of this. That this letter was written at the beginning of it, when Burning Man was just this strange festival and not what it is now.
Right.
And how, even in 1995, he truly was a visionary of thinking about big things. More than I'm just a rapper, where that's probably what my parents thought of him, especially at this time.
Right.
You know, this was 95 with Dre and Snoop Dogg, was a huge time of East Coast, West Coast rival. My parents were looking at him just as probably a drug dealing, thugging gangster.
Right.
Where really he was a forward thinker of, how do I get into this?
Right.
This is not a rap concert. It's a bunch of fucking weirdos out in the middle of nowhere singing and dancing around a giant wood man. But he realized that there were a lot of weirdos willing to pay and he was going to jump on.
Right.
So the part that I think that he owes her money is because he did say, he told her to quit her husband, come home to your doctor, I will take care of you, baby girl.
Oh, yeah. And 24 years of fucking marriage.
Right. She left her husband. She came home to daddy.
Stayed with him
for and the doctor now has to pay. Yeah,
he does. So, look, let me tell you what. All I could think about was when I was reading this was, my God, it sounds like one of the dumb letters I wrote to a boy or I had. You know when you wrote letters back and forth?
You told him you wanted to get up in that ass.
No. 95, I think I was in sixth grade. So my letters were between my friends.
Right.
So it's like, hey, how are you? I'm doing great. Blah, blah, this happened and this. And this, all I could think of was the sentence structure was that of a fifth grade level.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. This is something I wrote in fifth.
The structure wasn't great.
No, it was like a letter that I would have gotten in fifth grade from a friend.
It's funny, though, that it's considered a love letter, which I've been watching a lot of this show called Hometown on HGTV. Cutest fucking couple. I don't even know their names, but I typically don't like small little cute women. I think they're fucking obnoxious. They're just too fucking happy. They haven't had enough problems in their life to taint them yet. Oh. And that's why I think they're so happy. But the wife on this show, Hometown, is so fucking cute. I just can't help but love her. Like, she's so fucking cute. And when I was watching it last night, they are in Laurel, Mississippi, which is a population of 18,000. They are making it their mission to renovate these homes that were built in 1917, 1920, right. 19, and keep them in the same architect and design, but modern, and revitalize their hometown, right? So as they were doing that, they found this box of letters from the old homeowner who was a military nurse during World War II to her Hollywood actress sister. And they find a shoebox of the letters written between the sisters, and it's letters and pictures. So in today's time, those aren't going to exist, right? Like, you're not going to find love letters between Nate and I or, you know, love letters between Ethan and Amaris, because they're all text messages or emails or whatever it might be.
Right.
So, but in this house, they find it, they send it back to the lady. The lady says that they can keep a few of them. They frame them and put them in the house as decoration.
Wow.
So now I'm thinking about this Dr. Dre letter, where the letter was very beautiful, but it's between two Southern women, where this letter is from a rap star to his girl. So the love letter is a little different.
To his married, to another married woman.
Right. So if this letter is found in Dr. Dre's home 100 years from now, is this letter along with their picture being hung up and mounted in a shadow box of words of sweet tenderness of, baby girl, let me get up in that ass?
Oh my. If that's the case, no wonder divorce rates have gone up, because there is such a difference in the love letters that they wrote back then, right? They took their time and really expressed their emotions and feelings. Saying, I just want to get up in that ass doesn't take any thought. And I'm like, I, for one, like, you know, I sent you a card one time, and you were like, I absolutely loved it, because nobody sends cards, right?
Yeah.
We're missing that. And I believe there is a human touch between writing a letter and just sending, and a text message just doesn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I am a little disappointed now that I'm thinking of it, of if Dr. Dre is such a lyrical master with his songs.
Why would he just say, want to get up in that
ass? I think he could have done a little better.
Just a little bit. I mean, this is the woman that he wants her to leave another man for him. And this is what she says? And better yet, she does it?
Right. Yeah, that's the other question. Is this the letter that was like, oh yeah, he wants up in this ass?
I'm going to leave my NBA star husband for this up-and-coming rapper. Like,
right.
I mean, Ugh. If that's the letter, it's fucking sad on so many levels.
I know. I do like I said, I like the BD energy behind it. I like that he was like, I don't care that you're married. I've seen you. I want you. And I'm not afraid to say it. And I love that aspect about it. I just, now that I think about it, he could have done a little better job of being one of the master lyrical geniuses of the world. Do a better job.
Right. And I guess, and I agree with that, I think, but part of it is like, if you are telling this married woman to leave her husband for you, what makes you think that somebody else isn't going to convince her to leave you? Because she's not faith. She wasn't faith. I don't know if she cheated, but obviously there was not faithfulness to her current husband. Like, guys, the line, right? Like, I mean,
right.
You know, it's like, if somebody came up to me and be like, leave your husband, I want to get up on that ass, I'd be like, motherfucker, you better get the fuck out of my face right now before I, you know, because there's no loyalty.
Yeah.
I'm a loyal woman, right? Like, if there's a problem with my marriage, that's one thing. And then I get out of that marriage and then go on and do something, right? But I don't just leave my marriage for some guy who wants to get up in my ass.
Right, right. Well, I do think... And I struggle with this a little bit because there's been a ton of movies out there, right? That, and there's a quote somewhere out there that says, girl, God didn't bring you somebody else's husband. Like, that's not God's doing, right? But think of it like this. What if you got married at a young age and in between getting married and that and you've committed to this marriage, you've done it. Throughout that time, you meet your actual true love.
Okay.
So what happens then? What if the person that you married at 20 years old is not your true love? And it is this next person. But see,
I believe if that initial person is not your true love, that relationship would have been dissolving naturally on its own before another person came in. If another person is coming in, tempting you out, you need to look inside of you and figure out what's going on, because you may drop this one for that one and thinking it's true love, but that doesn't mean another temptation isn't going to come in and make you want to leave that one.
But what if it is like, honestly, true love? So like 15 years ago, 10 years ago, we met this couple, right? It is a friend of a friend, where it was very scandalous that they were both married at that time and they both wanted to be together, and they proceeded with this divorce and they're together and they're still together today. And because of the way that it went down, they lost all of their friends, right? Anybody on the mutual side of each person. When it happened, I don't know either one of them, but I had my opinion on it, right? This is good luck, guys. But now, 10 years later, still friends with her on Facebook, and they're still together, and it's still just the two of them, and they're doing great. So then, is that her true love? Was the first one just a mistake and just a blimp in her road? Or is this her true love? And who are we then to deny that because you made a bad commitment in the beginning? So like Dr. Dre writing to this married woman, where he might have had one or two encounters with her and been like, this is the woman of my dreams. And quite honestly, she was the woman of his dreams for 25 years. That's no short, that is a long-term marriage by anybody that I'd call that a success, right? 25 years, even to call it quits at 25 years is a success. Most people don't make it past 5. So then there is I don't know. I not so crazy that he's told her he's going to get up in her ass, but also like if he would have said it in a very sweet Robert Redford kind of way, would we all be like, oh my God, that's so beautiful, beautifully written. What, how amazing. Rather than just saying, I want to get
Well, no, I would have said the letter is written beautifully, but he still wrote it to a married woman. Which,
yeah.
And part of me thinks, like, I often think about this. Like, sometimes I have been out and told a man that I am married, like when I'm out with girlfriends, and they still continue. Like, there's no respect that she's a married woman. Uh-huh. Like, dude, she's committed to this person. Why are you over here trying to interfere into that relationship, even once you've gotten that message, right? Like,
right.
And I know you love the big dick energy, but I feel like he's applying the big dick energy to the wrong place. You know what uh-huh. I mean? Because she's a married woman. Mm-hmm. He has no respect for right. him or her because she's married. Now, mm-hmm. if he had waited mm-hmm. and her relationship dissolved and then they cooked back up and then had a 25-year relationship, I could see that, right? But I don't know. It feels so dirty, I guess.
Yeah. I think I would feel, I don't know, it's hard because you don't want to condone adultery in any way, but I also don't want people to be stuck because of a commitment. And I worry sometimes about that love of missing somebody because you think that this is your true love, right? That you missed. Man, look how tough my fucking
nice.
Muscles look
right
there.
Look at there. You. I'll look at how flabby mine are. I have not been working out.
Oh, well, this part moves, but my shoulders look good. Sorry, I got distracted.
By yourself.
Yeah, I don't know. There's even in the case of our friend, right? I stand by the fact that I feel differently if they would have said, love is love, and I can't deny this love, and it's everything I've ever dreamt of, and I'm sorry this didn't work out. Because you don't also have to treat that your previous person as a dirt bag,
right?
Which is what happened, right? Like, if you can exit this one gracefully, which is what this other couple did that I referenced on Facebook, they exited gracefully, but they exited, which was not taken well.
Right.
By everybody, right? Of course, there's going to be people that don't like that. They exited gracefully and still committed to each other and still are together. Can we look at that as her true love?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
But I guess, I don't know. I just feel like because he pursued her while she was married. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
If two married people, like in your friend's situation, they, you know, spent a few times together and like, oh, okay, this shit's real, right? Like, but there's no sexual engagement.
Right.
There's no secret emotional relationship going on for years, hiding behind the couple and whatever, mm-hmm. right? And you just go and say, look,
yeah.
I'm not happy. I want to leave. And then you leave the marriage. And then you move on to the other one. Great. I hope it works for you. You know what I mean? But don't come back.
Right. Yeah. For real. Well, I'm going to have to, I have one letter from Nate. I'm going to have to go look if he ended it with, can't wait to get up
Probably
that ass.
Probably not. Oh my gosh.
So funny. I wouldn't expect any less from Dr. Dre, I guess, at that time. I guess, no, I take that back.
You do expect more.
I expected a little better.
Yeah, he can write multi-million dollar rap songs, but he can't write the woman of his...
Right.
See, that's the other thing that I'm, like, pissed off about it, right? Like, where was your big dick energy trying to woo this woman? Other than just...
Right. Well, I think this is what he did, was he threw the husband under the bus, right? Like, have you gotten rid of that problem yet? And then I'll have my office look into it. is, you know, that I'm important. I've got an office. He keeps referring to himself as the doctor, right? There's an ego behind it. So there's definitely ego throughout the letter of making it intentional. Like, why are you mentioning this business deal? Well, because you want to show that you're not just out there being a rapper, but you're a mogul, and that a rapper is a completely different level than an NBA player, right? So he had to bring himself up to an NBA level and exceed it if he was going to win this lady
or back. Over, because he never had her.
And now you got her. And yeah, well, no, he got her, and now he's stuck with her fucking child support
payments. Oh, yeah, he's going to be paying for her. Now, did she file for divorce, or is he filing for divorce?
I don't know. I don't know all of that. I don't know who filed. I just know that they're estranged. I know that they're fighting over money. There is a prenup in play.
Oh, the article said there was no prenup.
Oh, I thought there was, which is why they...
The article said no prenup, and Dr. Dre's $800 million was basically dicey. They don't know what's going to happen.
Well, then, yeah, if there's no prenup, baby girl is getting all that money.
Baby girl's getting $400 million.
Yeah, all up in that ass. So I hope he enjoyed it.
He may have wrote all up in that ass, but she's going to be all up in that cash.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So anything else?
No, I think that we're good. I mean, should we mention... I have something that I have to tell because I can't not tell this story.
Okay.
So, let's talk about my lovely, lovely husband.
Okay.
And what happened before last weekend. Okay. Guys, it all started with a pig. Okay, that's my intro. So, last Thursday or Wednesday, Wednesday before we were supposed to come up to Jacksonville, I'm trying to get some work done because I'm doing a last minute run to Orlando to record the book. And all of a sudden, I see a cow run by my living room window. Now, for most of you guys, you know that's pretty normal, right? Mala's fucking running across the backyard. She's trotting, like, look at me, I'm having so much fun, right? So while Dion was feeding the animals, he forgot to lock the gate. Well, Mala opened the door, went out, actually left the door open for the pigs, and the pigs went running into the backyard. So Dion was able to get Mala back into the pasture, no problem. Well, the pigs, not so much. They're stubborn little fuckers. So Dion's running around. Pam's out there trying to hold the animals in. Dion's shooting off bullets, trying to scare the pigs back in the pastures. Not working. We sent Phoenix out there to try to, you know, wrangle them up. Nope. She's scared. She's got no idea. Won't leave my side. So Dion and I are now running around trying to chase these pigs. So as you know, our backyard is on an incline, and it was wet from all the rain, and he had no shoes on. Well, he ran, he slipped, and he fell, and all four of his toes curled underneath of him. So he gets up. I'm like, are you okay? You know, kind of worried, right? And he's like, oh. And then he goes, Mom, not even me, Mom, I think I need to go to the hospital. Because he's like, my toe's not supposed to go in that direction.
Oh, no.
So I said, you get your ass in the car now. I'm like, fuck the pigs. I had to call my publisher and be like, guys, I'm not showing up tonight. I'm taking my husband to the hospital. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So I got him in the car. Get in the car. There's only 9 miles left in the gas tank, so we have got to go to the fucking
gas station. Yeah.
So I got to pump gas before I can take him to the emergency room. He has now broken all four of his toes. One's dislocated.
Uh-huh.
So we go to the emergency room. I pull up. There's this lady standing outside the door, like staring in the door with a mask. Looking all confused. And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you're doing, but I walked in front of her. I stuck my head into that ER, and I'm like, I need a wheelchair now. Uh-huh. Like, I was not fucking around. So he's like, okay, okay. Because he was checking someone in, and I was like, I don't give a shit. Right? Tabby is in, like, fucking super hyper-focus mode.
Right.
And when that happens, nobody else matters.
Right.
So he comes out. Dion is wobbling, trying to walk into the ER. I'm like, sit your fucking ass down, right? So the guy puts him in the wheelchair. He's like, yeah, your toes aren't supposed to look like
that. No.
So he goes into the emergency room. And, of course, I can't go in with him, right? Can't even stay in the waiting room. I'm like, all right, I've been through this deal. We know. So just call me. Dion's like, well, my phone's about to die. And I'm like, oh, shit. The guy's like, oh, we have phones here. I'm looking at the guy rolling my eyes, and I'm like, you think he remembers my phone number? What the fuck? So I had to write down my phone number in case he had to call me from the hospital. Because if his phone died,
right.
he doesn't know the number. And he's like, yeah, I don't know the number.
Yeah.
So he goes in. They do all of this stuff. The doctor comes in after looking at the x-rays. He goes, well, I don't see where there's any damage, not even looking at Dion, kind of being all arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
So Dion leans back and waits for him, the doctor actually look at him and go, hey, doc, I may not be an expert, but I didn't wake up with my toes facing this direction. So the doctor looked at his toes and went, oh, yeah, maybe I might need to go back. And he's like, then Dion's like, then what the fuck are you doing in my room?
Right.
Right, like, get the fuck out, do your job, right, and all this stuff. So three toes were broken, one was dislocated. So the ER does not put your toes back into socket, ever.
Oh, okay.
So they casted his whole foot. That's what they did. They put him in a cast and gave him some crappy ass painkillers, right? Uh-huh. So nothing even really. So he had a full on cast, went to go pick him up. Then the next day we had to go to an orthopedic. That was fun. So he goes in. I can't go in again, but man, the stories are great.
I bet. Right?
Oh, my gosh. So he goes in. The doctor takes the cast off, looks at everything. He has to stick a needle that big in between his little toe.
2 inches she's showing.
Yeah, like 2 inches into his in between his toes. And that was painful, but it was to, like, numb.
Yeah.
Right? And the doctor finally decided that he was going to try to wiggle the toe back in place because he was thinking he was going to have pins. And pins require surgery. Ugh. They were going to send him over to the Daytona hospital right then and there.
Right.
We're supposed to be leaving for your house in a couple of hours.
Right.
And he's going to go and have to have surgery. So, thank goodness he didn't have to have surgery. The doctor re-looked, went in, and he's like, all right. He's like, this is going to hurt. And he snapped his toe back in place.
Yeah.
And Dion was like, no matter how much they numbed his foot, he was like, that was so fucking painful.
I bet. But
it was. And he's like, but I feel so great to have my toe back in its socket. But then he put him in that boot.
Right.
That you guys saw. So now he's wearing this special boot and kind of limping around.
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, a couple days ago, he's trying to put his foot in the boot to go do the stuff. And we're like, no, stop that. And he can't put on tennis shoes. He's trying. And I'm like, stop. I'm like, just fucking relax. I'm like, stop. Just give your foot a rest, okay? Otherwise, you're going to have fucking pins in your feet.
That's funny. It's like when they're perfectly fine, they're perfectly fine sitting and doing nothing. But as soon as there's an injury, all of a sudden they want to get up all the time and help.
Yes. That's exactly not the time. I do the exact same thing. No. Yeah.
Not the time.
But you can't keep them down.
So have you killed the fucking pig that tripped him and broke his toes?
No, they're out in the pasture. Well, actually, they're in the pens now because we think our two cows are pregnant from Lucky, and we think babies are coming anytime soon. So we have now locked up the pigs because we learned something new. We have been farming for 3 fucking years and just learned that pigs drink from the teat of them cows. So 2 years ago, we learned about them, the males drinking from the milk, right. Remember?
Yeah.
Remember, like, where the fuck did all our milk go? Well, the fucking bull was out there drinking it. So now we've got Lucky segregated out in another area. The pigs are locked up in a pen because when the babies come, it is so, so super, super important that the babies drink from the mother in the first 48 hours because it has the colostrum in it, which is all the nutrients that they need. So we can't have the pigs or the cow, the bull, trying to steal it all.
Oh, speaking of cow nipples and breast milk, I got a text this weekend. You just gave me a dirty look. I got a text this weekend, and it was a screenshot between my nieces, Megan and, sorry, I'm just trying not to say her last name, so I just had a brain fart. Megan and Rachel, who was married last year. When I came back from Vegas, I flew to their wedding, and it was a screenshot of our conversation about breast milk and how it comes out like a sprinkler, and that didn't know that. And I was telling you about how I had attacked Nate, and it was her telling her wife that she better not fucking do that, because we'll announce this as well and say congratulations to Megan and Rachel, who are expecting their first baby in April. Yay! Yeah. So it was the message of, I'm listening to their fucking podcast, and apparently your tits are going to be able to do this, and you better not do this to me.
And she's like, I'm totally doing that to you.
Megan's response was, don't tell me what to do.
Pretty much. Yeah. Welcome to the hormones.
Yes, exactly. So we'll have to find out. I told her, I was like, you're going to be shocked. You're going to be shocked when you see the nipple. So talk to pregnancy talk, but that's where my transition was. Sorry.
There you go. Hey, it works. It's a nipple to a nipple, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Or a teat to a nipple, because cows don't really have nipples.
I don't know. I hope my nipples never look like that.
No, I hope not either, because, no banana boobs, okay?
No, not at all. So, all right. Well, that's all that I have. I hope that Dion's foot gets better.
Me too. It's getting there. He's taking it slow.
Yeah, good.
As much as slow as I can get him to take it. So he's resting.
Nice.
Thank goodness he doesn't like have a physical job. Oh, well, he has a physical job, but not a physical job, right? Yeah.
Manual.
Yeah.
Well, I am off after this, taking the rest of the day off and heading down to Port Canaveral to celebrate Howie's birthday for the weekend. So I can't wait. If I haven't caught Corona yet, I probably will now. Heading out on a casino boat and going out and having a great time.
Hey, you better wear your mask.
I don't know what the policy is. I know, a lot. I am kind of worried about that because I'm going to be miserable if I have to wear it all fucking night, locked on a boat until 1 a.m. I'm hoping it's like any other bar where they're not really enforcing it. Because I don't gamble and I don't drink. And if they're only making you not wear it when you're sitting at a slot machine or you're sitting at the bar,
you're fucked.
I'm wearing a mask. So I bought a cute all black one, adjustable, so it's not strangling my face.
You need to put spikes on it and go around trying to stab people with your mouth.
Like Lady Gaga's mask, yeah. So
yes.
Big weekend ahead. Hopefully I'll have some fun stories for you guys next week, but I think that wraps it up for me.
Yep, absolutely. Tell Howie I said happy birthday.
I will.
And guys, as always, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, give us a shout out at notasafespacepodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, guys. Have a great day.
Bye.